I'm glad you're here, everyone. We're going to get into the Word of God in just a minute. You got to get excited. Like I always say, you know, every Sunday I come up here, get excited, because if you don't have the excitement, you can't really receive the Word of God in full, because it starts with our attitude. You got to say, Lord, I am so hungry for your Word. And as you go with this kind of heart, the Lord says, I'm going to fill you up, overflowing of my goodness. And we're just going to come and say, Lord, more. And if you say more, God's going to do it. He's going to fill us up, overflowing, overflowing of His very goodness. So why don't we go ahead and let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father God. Let's pray. Lord God, we come into your most awesome presence. We seek after you because, Lord, there's no other place we would rather be than in the presence of our Lord God and King. And I ask you now, Lord, as your word comes and fills our heart with more of your holy presence, I know we're going to take your word, we're going to choose to live it, and we're going to see the blessings take place. We're going to see the miracles that will come forth as we trust and as we believe in you. So I ask you now, Lord God, as we, as your children, seek after you, we seek your face, I pray you're going to reveal yourself to us, and we know as your word comes, we're going to have the wisdom, we're going to have the knowledge to live life victoriously. So Lord, we surrender it all to you now. It's in the name of Jesus Christ we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Can everyone hear me okay?
Yes.
Just come out of the speakers. Oh, okay. Great.
Turn it on.
It's on. Let's see. Can you turn it up? That's as far as it'll go. Am I coming out? Really?
Okay.
I'll try to talk a little bit louder then. It's on. It's okay now? Okay, can you hear me? Everyone in? Can you hear me? No? Just a second here. Some technical difficulties. Just give us a minute here.
Testing. Oh, there we go. I'm loud now. All right.
Turn me down a little bit there. I know we want to wake everyone up, but I know you're already awake, so you're excited. So, okay, now we can get in the Word. So, today the title of my sermon is, When Too Much of a Good Thing Isn't Really That Good at All. When too much of a good thing isn't really that good at all. You know, just the other day someone offered me a bottle of soda. And if you know me, I love to drink soda. I know John Lee doesn't like the idea that when I drink soda, she knows it's not good for me. But I gotta tell you, I especially love Pepsi. And if you're a Coke lover, I'm gonna tell you, Pepsi is better. Yeah, I know, because yeah, I'm an expert in soda. But at one point, I ain't kidding you, I was drinking up to 2 to 3 bottles of Pepsi a day. And that's a lot, I know, but I can almost picture ice-cold Pepsi being served in heaven. You know, just like a commercial where they open that can, then they go, 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 and then what comes next? Ah. And I can imagine heaven, everyone's going to be going, ah, because you're such filled with joy, you're such filled with the peace of God, and you just got to go, ah. And you know what? I was going to say, you know what? Of course, I'll have a Pepsi. But then I remembered, my doctor told me not that long ago. He told me, he said, you know, you took your blood test and it showed that you may be borderline diabetic. And he told me, you got to cut down on your sugar. And you know, soda has a lot of sugar in it, right? So to top that off, my dentist told me, you know what? Excessive drinking of soda can cause tooth decay and what? You kids, you know what it causes, right? Cavities. And so I said to the guy, well, you know what? I better not. As much as I wanted to, I said, nah, I better not. But, you know, in the past, if you gave me a pack of Pepsi, 6-pack of Pepsi, and you gave me a bag of Mochi Crunch, oh, you'd be my best friend for life. And you know, that's what I enjoy. People know that. And they say, oh, yeah, here, you know, enjoy it. But here's the thing. If I drank all of that Pepsi and ate all that junk food, would that be good for me? Then I thought, you know what, this is a good example of when too much of a good thing is not really that good at all. You know, as a Christian, we ask for God's blessing. Say, Lord, bless me. And we know according to His word, when God blesses, does He give a little bit? No, God says, I'll let my abundance flow in your life. That's how God gives, doesn't He? When He gives in great abundance. And you know, in the Bible, we find farmers who trusted God, and they're blessed with the overabundance of crops. They may have very little. All their crops may have been dried up. They may have not been producing as much, but they trust in God, and God provided in great abundance. And you know, we find these people being blessed with much land, much cattle, you know what, and even much children. As they ask, God provided. Well, let me give you some examples here. Look in your notes. Genesis 26, 12 to 13. Look what happened to Isaac. It says, Isaac planted crops in that land, and at the same year reaped a hundredfold because the Lord blessed him. The man became rich, and his wealth continued to grow until he became very wealthy. So let me ask you, can God bless with finances, with wealth, material things? Yeah, He can, according to what it tells us here. Look what it says in Deuteronomy 28, 10 to 12. It says, then all the peoples of the earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you, what does it say there? Abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, so your children, the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land He swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open up the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season, and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but borrow from none. Wow, sounds like God wants to bless us abundantly, don't you think? But you know, here's the thing. Sometimes it seems for some Christians, as much as they ask, it seems like the abundance never comes. And we know that God has His reason. So we're going to look in the Word of God today and see why are possible reasons why God sometimes may not let the abundance flow. Because God, He looks into our heart. And we're going to look, maybe sometimes He knows having too much may not be really too good for us. So it's a matter of asking the Lord and say, what is Your Word showing me that what I must do to really live a life that is true to You so that I can truly experience Your abundance? Because guess what? We live in a society where we think that abundance is all good. We say the more, the better, right? But sometimes we don't have the right heart, we don't have the right attitude. Sometimes too much may not be too good at all. So here's the question. So when is this statement true and evident in our lives? Well, number one here, it says, when too much makes you look too much into self and into the things of the world. When too much makes you look too much into self and into the things of the world. Look what it says in Luke 12. I'm going to start with verse 13 and we'll go through 21. It's not in your notes with verse 13 through 19, but you want to come in at verse 20. I'm going to read it to you. This is what it says. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, tell my brother to divide with me the property our father left us. But Jesus said to him, Who said I should judge or decide between you? Then Jesus said to them, Be careful and guard against all kinds of greed. Life is not measured by how much one owns. This is what Jesus said. And now verse 16, he says, Then Jesus told this story. There was a rich man who had some land which grew a good crop. He thought to himself, What will I do? I have no place to keep all of my crops. Then he said, This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all other goods. Then I can say to myself, I have enough good things stored to last many, many years. Look what he says. Rest, eat, drink, and enjoy life. That sounds good, doesn't it? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? But look what he says in verse 20. But God said to him, Foolish man, tonight your life will be taken from you. So who will get those things you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be for those who store up things for themselves, and are not rich toward God. And you got to ask yourself, what does it mean to be rich towards God? Well, to put it very simply, to be rich towards God means to be poor to yourself. You go, what? Doesn't God say He wants to give in abundance? Well, what I want you to understand, being poor to self means you have the willingness to put others first. You are concerned with others first, because that's the heart of God, isn't it? And God wants us to have this same kind of a heart. Because when you're so focused on yourself, you can't really do anything productive for God. Because God wants you to serve others. He wants you to love them more than you love yourself. Like my brother here said, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And God calls us to do the very same. And in this case, if you were the farmer, and you say you're a child of God, you are a believer, automatically you say, well, God gave me an overabundance. You don't go ahead and build bigger barns to store it all up for yourself. No, your heart should be saying, my Father God has given me so much. I want to share it. Who is in need? I want to give. I want to give. That's the true heart of God in you. If you really know the Word of God, you know this is what God wants us to do. And if you have this kind of heart, I got to tell you, you should not have any worries or anxieties, because God knows your heart is right. God says, I will keep on supplying. I will keep on providing, because you're doing what my Word says to do. And I got to tell you, it's true. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it in other believers' life when they say, Lord, I'm going to give whatever you ask. And do not hold onto the things. And they can say, Lord, I'm going to give. I'm going to give with a right heart. I'm going to give with a true heart. And you know, the same goes for being too focused on things of the world. You know, look what it says in 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17. What does it say there? It says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, and the boasting of what he has and does, come not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. I want to tell you a story written by a well-known author. I don't know if you heard of him. His name is Leo Tolstoy. He tells about a successful peasant farmer who was just not satisfied with what he had owned and all the things he had. He said, oh, it's not enough. You know, one day he received an offer he simply could not refuse. He was told that for $1,000, he could take claim and ownership of all the land that he could walk on all around for one whole day. So whatever he set his foot upon on that land is his. So imagine if you were in his place, you'd try to get as much as you can, right? The only catch in the deal was that he had to be back at the starting point by sundown. So early the next morning, he started out walking at a very fast pace, because he's going to try to get as much land as he can, right? Wouldn't you do the same? So by midday, he got really tired because he was going at such a fast pace, trying to get as much land as he can. And he kept on going, covering more and more and more ground. Well into the afternoon, he realized that his greed has taken him far, far from the starting point. And he started to move a lot faster, and he started to run as the sun started to sink lower and lower in the sky. He knew if he didn't make it back by sundown, he would lose his chance to be a bigger landowner. So when the sun started to sink below the horizon, he came within the sight of the finish line. There it is. But I'm pushed. I gotta keep going. I gotta get more land. And he started to sprint as fast as he could. And his heart started pounding like crazy, and he was gasping for breath. He staggered over the finish line just as the sun disappeared. He immediately collapsed, and blood was streaming from his mouth. In a few minutes, he was dead. Afterwards, his servants dug a grave, and was not much over 6 feet long by 3 feet wide. And that's how much land was needed for his burial. You know what the title of Tolstoy's story was? How much land does a man really need? Well, in this case, 3 feet by 6 feet. Think about that for a second. When we allow greed to come into our lives, when we say, oh, I want more, whatever it takes. And, you know, we know people that's willing to do whatever it takes. Just make more and more and more. Because they want the bigger stuff. They want the glamorous stuff. And they say, oh, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to sacrifice all my time. I'm willing to sacrifice time spent with my family. Doesn't matter. I'm just going to make more and more and more. And they drive themselves to the grave. And we got to understand, there are more things to life than money, than wealth, than material things. We know that God is present in our lives. And we got to put our heart and focus on Him. We put Him first. We put others first before ourselves. That's when you're going to live a life that is truly joyful. You're going to live a life that's truly filled with the blessings of God because you got it right. Because otherwise, it sounds depressing. I know this story sounds a little depressing, but isn't it true? He was searching for all this land, but in the very end, all he got was 3 feet by 6 feet. So the heart of this message is, make sure your focus is right. And you will be taken care of from our Father God, because He is our provider, isn't He? Let Him be the one to provide for your needs. Amen? Well, number two here, it says, when too much has a bad influence on your Christian way of life, when too much has a bad, right in that blank, bad influence on your Christian way of life. This is what it says in Romans 13, verses 12 to 14. It says here, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes and put on the shining armor of right living. Because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Do not participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness, or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living, or in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. Don't think about ways to gratify your evil desires. Because, you know, for some Christians, if they do have a lot, they simply cannot resist slipping back into their former worldly and evil desires. And I've heard it from people say, oh, Pastor, I cannot help myself. God has blessed me so tremendously that, oh, I'm getting back into the world. I can't help myself. God, I got so much now. And I said, you know, God gave you all this. Tell you, God gave you this for a reason. He knew your heart may have been right, and now you're slipping back. Guess what? The Bible tells us this, you know, as the Lord gives, He can take away too. Because He looks at your heart. Now, if your heart is starting to slip away, guess what? You gotta make sure you get on back track with God. It's not about the money, it's not about the material things. You just want to get back because you know the love of God is with you. And you just got to say, Lord, I'm coming back to you. It doesn't matter what I have. The most important thing is that I have you in my life. That's where God, He looks at your heart and He's going to say, oh, I know my child is for me. He'll continue to provide for you. He'll continue to bless you. Let me ask you something. What if you were asked this question? What would you do for $10 million? If you had to do something for $10 million, there was a condition, something you had to do for $10 million, how far would you let it go? You know, of the hundreds of thousands of Americans polled, some would agree to at least one or several of the following. Oh, let me read this to you. Did you know 25% of the people said that they would abandon their entire family? You give me $10 million, I'm going to abandon my family. 25% said they would abandon the church. 23% said they would become prostitutes for a week or more. We're talking, this is like maybe like 50, 60,000 people that say, yeah, I do that. 16% said I would give up my American citizenship.
Yeah.
16% said they would leave their spouses. Give me $10 million. Oh, bye-bye, honey. That's what they said. Crazy, huh? 10% said they would withhold testimony and let a murderer go free. 7% said they would kill a stranger. 3%, oh, this is funny. 3% said they will put their children up for adoption. What are you tapping Christian on the shoulder for? And think about this. What extent would you go for $10 million? If you think that money is all you need in life, I got to tell you, you're going to say, oh yeah, whatever. But we got to be careful. If that's in our heart, I got to tell you, you will not be blessed by God because you are serving money. Money is your God. We got to be careful. Make sure God is your God. And you say, Lord, I'm only living for you. Look what it says in 1 Timothy 6:10. It says, for love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. So it's not money that is evil, right? What is it?
The love
of money. When you put money first in your life, it says a lot of evil will come into your life. Very plain and simple. And it's the truth, and you know it. And don't think that, oh yeah, I can control, no worry, I can make all the money. Oh, I'll be good. But no, if you put it first, guess what? You're heading on to that path of destruction. So we got to be careful. We're heading there. We say, Lord, get me back on track. I want to only go towards you. And we know it says here, people have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Oh, they hurt themselves deeply and painfully with many sorrows. It could be broken relationships. It could be the loss of all their possessions because greed came into the picture. So we got to make sure we do not allow that greed to come into our lives. Look what it says in Luke 9:23-25. It says, then he said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, this is what Jesus is saying, you must turn from your selfish ways. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? Think about that. What if someone offered you everything in the world? Would you say, oh yeah, I'm willing to give up my life for that? Oh, shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Because we're all going to come to a point in which God comes first in our lives. He's the most important period. He's the most awesome person we can ever imagine. Jesus Christ is the one we serve. He's first above all things. No matter how much or how little we have, it should never affect our relationship with God. Because I know, I heard people tell me, oh, you know what? Things aren't really working out in my life. Oh man, I still haven't found that job. I still haven't been able to get things together in my life. So you know what? I'm forgetting God. I don't want to walk with God anymore. And I said, man, really? Just think about it. What if it was a case where your loved one, whether it be your child, whoever, all of a sudden you couldn't provide. And they say, okay, well, you cannot provide. See you later. How would you feel? And some of us, we do that to God. So, Lord, you're not providing for me. See you later. And I said, no. Stick to God. God loves you. Your relationship with God is based on love, not based on money or material things. It's based on your love for Him and based on His love for you. And we hang on to God regardless of our situation, amen? Regardless of our circumstance, we never let go because God will come through for you every single time. I never heard a case where someone, you know, got disappointed with God as they continue to hold on to God. No, it always comes forth where God shows Himself strong. And God will let that miracle happen in your life if you hold on to Him. Don't let go, brothers and sisters, because God, you know, you got to understand, He has got a reputation to keep also. He wants His name to be glorified. He will show Himself strong if you allow Him to work in your life. Amen?
Amen.
You know, years ago, one of South California's infamous wildfires destroyed the home of this best-selling writer. I don't know if you know him. His name is Aldous Huxley, and he is the author of this book called The Brave New World. And he and his wife barely escaped with their lives. And, you know, here's the thing, though. Huxley's manuscripts, his collection of letters from great people of his day, and his expansive library of valuable books. I mean, we're talking hundreds of thousands of dollars here. You know, his most valuable books, which took years and years and years for him to accumulate, were all destroyed. And, you know, all his earthly possessions just lay in ashes on the ground. And he was just standing there, everything's gone. And, you know, later he talked with one of his friends, and you know what he said? He said, it was a hideous experience. That's the word he used, hideous. Oh, man, that's the word to really describe, you know, wow, everything you have is gone. But you know what else he said? But it did make me feel extraordinarily clean. Just a thing, sometimes when we hold on to the stuff, the things we have in life, you know what? It can be cleansing when it's no longer there. Because I'm talking about situations where we're so holding tight to something of this world that, you know what? We lose our attention. We lose the affection for our Lord God and King. Because all of our focus is on this one thing. And I've seen, you know, cases where, like, for guys, you know, they get a new car and they're spending hours and hours waxing, shining until it becomes a brilliant shine. And the wife says, okay, time to go to church. No, I gotta buff my car up just a little bit more here. And they spend all the time, all their energy on that thing. And we gotta be careful because, you know, I know sometimes, you know, we all can do that, right? We get hooked on things, right? And see John Lee smiling at me. But there are times we gotta be careful when we can recognize it and say, okay, this is not important. I gotta spend time with my family. I gotta spend time with God. Those are the important things. And when we get it right, that is where, you know, God will cleanse us. It's good that you recognize it, but you got to do something about it. Amen?
Amen?
And here's the thing. It shouldn't take a wildfire driven by the Santa Ana winds to release us from the bondage of our stuff. But you know what? We got to choose like what the Apostle Paul did. You know what he said? He says he counted all as loss. Look in your notes what it says in Philippians 3:8. This is what he says. He says, what is more, I consider everything. He says everything. A loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them what? Rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And what he's saying, everything I have compared to knowing Christ is nothing. He says, I count it as loss. I count them as rubbish. Maybe that's a good way to look at your things. When you compare it to the fact that you know Christ, that you know the love of God is in your heart. Everything else should be rubbish, garbage, right? And I think it's a healthy way of looking at it. It will increase your spirituality in a sense where you realize, yes, God is truly number one. Everything else is rubbish. And when you can really recognize that, I really believe God will continue to bless your life. And he will continue to show himself strong in your life because you got it right. Your priorities are right. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Well, here's the next question. It says, when is too much of a good thing actually good then for us? Because, yeah, sometimes too much of a good thing can be good. Well, let's look and see when are those cases. Well, look what it says. Number one, it says, when too much of a good thing creates in you a more giving heart. A more giving heart. Look what it says in Exodus 36:6-7. It says, so Moses gave the command, and this message was sent throughout the camp. Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. We have enough. So the people stopped bringing their sacred offerings. Their contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project. And imagine this, the Israelites, God's people, they have seen the awesome goodness of God's provision. So that when they were told to contribute what they had for God's temple, guess what? They brought in too much. And here's the thing. It tells us, they didn't bring in their junk-a-lunk. Oh, I'm not going to use that. I'm going to give that to the church. That's what a lot of people do, right? They say, oh, I don't need it. I'll get puka in my shirt. I'll give them to the church. Right? No, they didn't do that. They brought their best. And they said, get more. They brought it from the cartloads. This is our best. Let's give it to God. Oh, what happened to them? It's their heart. They realized how awesome God is. The love of God is so strong in their life. They said, oh, I want to give more and more and more. And they just keep on coming. Then Moses said, okay, enough already. Can you imagine? A pastor saying, enough already, we got too much. Oh, wouldn't that be awesome? Think about that. Everyone bringing their best. And the pastor has to turn them away. Wow. That's what we should be having in our hearts. Don't we have the heart to say, Lord, I want to give my best. I want to give it in truckloads, Lord. And God says, you give me in truckloads, I'm going to show you what I'm going to bless your life with now. Because your heart is so right. So right with me. You know, the story is told, there is this beggar by the roadside who asked for money from Alexander the Great as he passed along with his officials. You know, the man, he was poor and he was wretched and he was pretty bold, you know, to have the nerve to even speak to the emperor, Alexander the Great. And yet the emperor threw him several gold coins, just like that. An official was astonished at his generosity, and he commented, sir, copper coins would adequately meet a beggar's need. Why give him gold? And you know what? Alexander, he responded in such a royal fashion. You know what he said? Copper coins would suit the beggar's need, but gold coins suit Alexander's giving. Think about that. What suits your giving? Knowing that you are a child of our Father God. You are a prince and princess unto the King. And remember in Scripture, he says, whatever he owns, guess what? We own too. That's what the Bible tells us. So God says, I will constantly unleash my blessings from my storehouse unto your lives. So what suits our giving? Knowing that we have that abundant supply from him because he is our provider. We got to ask ourselves, what suits our giving? And we should be willing to give above and beyond. Because God, he knows that your heart is right. When you have that willingness to do that, you are willing to let go of the things of the world and say, I'm going to release it to those who need it. I'm going to give my best to them. Amen?
Amen.
Well, number two here, it says, when too much of a good thing comes only from God alone, and he knows that you're ready for it. Look what it says in Jeremiah 31:12. It says here, they will come home and sing songs of joy on the heights of Jerusalem. They will be radiant because of the Lord's good gifts. Look what it says there. The abundant crops of grain, new wine and olive oil, and the healthy flocks and herds. Their life will be like a watered garden. And their sorrows, all their sorrows, all their sorrows will be gone. Wow. And here's the thing, when you know it comes from the very hand of God, oh, he's just going to release it, like I said earlier, in great abundance. And just think about it. It says your life will be like a watered garden. Because think about it. If you have a garden, you don't water it for a few days, what's going to happen? It's going to start to dry up, right? And eventually it's going to die. Can you revive a dead plant? It's hard. It's all brown and shriveled up. Well, the thing is, God says, I'm going to keep watering your life with my living water. And you're going to be taken care of. That's the thing I want you to understand. When you believe in God with your whole life, there's like a watering can right over you. Did you know that? It's God's watering can because he looks to you like a plant. That's what the scripture says. And he's going to constantly water you. He's going to make sure you're constantly well provided for. He's going to make sure that you're going to have all that you need in life. And if he chooses to bless you above and beyond that, well, praise him. Because he sees your heart is right. And he will not stop because he wants to make sure that as you are being blessed, you're going to give glory. You're going to tell people of the goodness of God. and he will not stop. And if you want to be a well-watered garden, you got to make sure that your focus is not on the things of the world. It's on him. Because not only will God give in great abundance in material things, you know what else he'll give in great abundance? Who knows? What does the scripture say? He'll give in great abundance with wisdom and knowledge. Look what it says in Matthew 13, 10 through 13. It says here, his disciples came and asked him is Jesus, why do you use parables when you talk to the people? And he replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but others are not. I want you to catch that. Some people do not understand the secrets of the kingdom, even believers. Some believers will not understand the secrets of the kingdom. It's for those who have the right heart, who seek after him. It says, to those who listen to my teaching, look what it says there, more understanding will be given, and they will have an abundance of what? Knowledge. And I heard this before, where a person who never had a certain skill before, I think I experienced this in my life also, where the person just learned to trust in God and say, Lord, my life belongs to you. Suddenly they have skills they never had before. And whatever they put their hand to, wow, it's blessed. And I can see how God will continually let the knowledge flow into your life. Wisdom will constantly flow into your life. And suddenly you're being blessed beyond measure. You're being so blessed in your life because all of a sudden, things you weren't able to do before, you're doing it. And you guys know, for me to stand up here, you tell me this 15 years ago, I say, you're crazy. I'm serious. John Lee knows this. I have like, wow, the greatest fear in public speaking. Oh man, I shake like a leaf. I was like, no, don't let me speak in front of people. Whatever. No, not that. But you got to have the willing to say, Lord, you're going to work through me. I'm going to believe in you. I'm going to trust in you and just let God do his miracle in your life. Amen? Amen. It's a miracle for me to stand up here. I want you guys to understand this. That I can't believe. Sometimes I'm up here, I'm going, am I really up here? Even today, I'm not kidding you. I go, how can I be up here? I'm shaky Ben. You know, I'm shy Ben. I'm not supposed to be up here. But God says, you trusted me. I got a plan for your life. And people are going to stand in awe of him because they see me in you. That's what it's all about. People will see God in you because they know it's impossible for you to do what you can do. But because you trust in him, because you believe in him, God says, I'm giving you an abundance of my knowledge. I'm giving you an abundance of my wisdom. And wow, miracle after miracle after miracle will take place in your life. Amen?
Amen.
You know, there's a journalist, her name is Eunice Pike. And, you know, she lived with the Mazatec Indians for over 40 years. And, you know, she discovered many interesting cultures and customs from this tribe. And here are some of the things that they believe. Is first of all, they do not like to wish someone well. And they don't like to teach one another new things or even share the gospel. You know, if a village baker was asked, who taught you how to bake bread? You know what they would say? I don't know. I just know. Nobody taught me. I just know. And Eunice says, this odd behavior stems from the Indians' concept. You know what it is? It's limited good. That goodness is limited. They believe there is only so much good, only so much knowledge, only so much love to go around. Can you imagine living life like that? He says, to teach another means you gotta drain yourself of knowledge. To love a second child means you have to love the first child less. To wish someone well, if you say to someone, oh, have a good day. You know what? It means you've just given away some of your own happiness, which cannot be reacquired. Can you imagine living in a community like this? Everybody is like for themselves. So how can I show you? Oh, I'll go in this corner, you go in your corner. You cannot ask me anything now. You cannot ask me anything. I won't ask anything of you. Can you imagine that kind of community where everyone only cares about who? Themselves. Wouldn't you be miserable? I'd be miserable, I tell you, if I had to live in a community like that. But we know that's not the case with God. God knows your heart is willing to give above and beyond. Oh man, God says, I will give you back. And you know, not that we always look for it, right? Because you know, we give because we have a heart that we know the love of God is in us. And we say we want to give because we love God, because we love others. But God says, man, if you have this kind of heart, I'm going to take from my storehouse. And you can imagine what is in God's storehouse. Is there a limited supply in God's storehouse? No, it is unlimited. And God says, I have it for you. I have it for you, child. You do it my way. Oh, unlimitedness of blessings will constantly flow through your life. And he promises this. We got to make sure our heart is right. Because if you want to just hold back all the time, hold back all the time, hold back all the time, well, guess what? God is holding back all the time and holding back all the time. Can you see that? You want God to unleash, unleash, unleash? You got to unleash, unleash, unleash. And God says, I will do it. Because that's what I want. This is truly indicative that your heart belongs to me. I want to conclude by telling you about this news reporter's report. He's from Great Britain and reported on this politician in Uruguay who chose to live like the masses. And if you know Uruguay, the masses, most of them, you know, most of the people there are poor. But here's what he's reported. I'm just going to read to what he says here in his report. He says, it's a common grumble that politicians' lifestyles are usually far greater from those who have voted for him. It says, not so in Uruguay. Meet the president, who lives on a ramshackle farm and gives away most of his pay. It says, laundry is strung outside the house. The water comes from a well in the yard, overgrown with weeds. Only two police officers and Manuela, a three-legged dog, keep watch outside. They don't have Secret Service agents. No, a three-legged dog and two policemen. That's what it says there. Wow. It says, this is the residence of the president of Uruguay, Jose Mujica, whose lifestyle clearly differs sharply from that of most other world leaders. You may be thinking, well, he must be really from a really poor country then. Well, here's the thing. It says, President Mujica has turned away the luxurious house that the Uruguayan state provides for its leaders and opted to stay at his wife's farmhouse off a dirt road outside the capital, Montevideo. It says, the president and his wife work the land themselves, growing flowers. And it says, this lifestyle and the fact that Mujica donates about 90% of his monthly salary, equivalent to $12,000. That's 90% of his income. He gives it to charity and has led him to be labeled as the poorest president in the world. And he says here, I live like this most of my life, he says, sitting on an old chair in his garden, using a cushion favored by Manuela, the dog. He says, I can live well with what I have. He says, his charitable donations, which benefit poor people and small entrepreneurs, mean his salary is roughly in line with the average Uruguayan income of $775 a month. That's how much he receives. He gives the rest away. And he says, I'm called the poorest president, but I don't feel poor. Poor people are those who only work to try to keep an expensive lifestyle and always want more and more, he says. This is a matter of freedom. If you don't have many possessions, then you don't need to work all your life like a slave to sustain them. And therefore, you have more time for yourself, he says. I may appear to be an eccentric old man, but this is free choice, and this is what I want to do. And, you know, you may think, oh, this guy must be really popular among the people, knowing he has such a big heart, right, for the poor. But you know what? Sadly, Mujica is not altogether popular. His approval rating has fallen to below 50% among the people there in Uruguay. Below 50%. And, you know, and here's the thing. His desire to live a simple life and the willingness to give most of his wealth away to the poor and the needy. You gotta understand, it takes a pretty special person to do that, don't you think? The willingness to do that. But doesn't it remind you of someone a couple thousand years ago? Despite his selflessness, he wasn't also very popular in the public opinion polls. You know who that is? Jesus. And we know he was willing to give it all. Look what it says in Philippians 2, 6 to 8. It says here, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. But look what it says there about divine privileges. What was Jesus' divine privileges anyway? Well, first of all, we know he is Father God's Son. But you know what? The Bible also tells us in John 1 that he is God. The Bible says that Jesus, did you know that Jesus created everything? Everything in this entire universe. And he owns everything. But the Bible says, yet he humbled himself and gave up everything he had because of his love for us. Just think about this. Jesus owns everything. And here's a question. When was the last time you gave up anything for God? Because he gave it all. Everything. I mean, every single thing in this entire universe he owns. And sometimes we may ask ourselves, are we willing to give up everything for God? But you say, oh, you know what? Everything that I got a nice car. I got this in my home. You're asking me to give up this? Well, really, is it anything considering Jesus says, I gave it all? Oh, everything in this universe he owns. He says, I love them that much. And the Father probably told him, I'm going to send you in the world. He says, let me go. Because I love them that much. He's willing to give it all. Are you willing to give it all to God? Because that's what God wants from us. I got to share something with you guys. It's also something that's deep within my heart, and it's something where I just want to share with you because, you know, last year, this is family we know. They sold everything they had. I mean, even their business. They said, we're going to give up their business. The business was successful. And he says, we're going to give it all up. I'm going to move to Brazil. And they said, we're going to go there. We're going to minister to the lost. We're going to minister to the people there because we know there's a need there. And, you know, they took their three young children there and they moved to the most dangerous areas in Brazil, where crime is high, where the drug lords are all over the place. And he said, this is God's calling. And we're going to do it. Because we love God. And God put it in our hearts to love the people there. I got to admit to you guys. At first, I was a little upset at them. I was going, are they crazy? They're going to go to this area where crime is so rampant, they're going to put their children in harm's way. What are they thinking? Do they have their mind right or what? And, oh man, I remember I carried on like this for a while. And suddenly, I think I was driving one day and the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. And he says, Ben, who are you to judge them? They made a huge sacrifice for me and they trust in me. They believe that I will protect them, that they're willing to give it all up for me. Ben, who are you to judge them? I gotta tell you, I just started weeping. And I go, Lord, I'm sorry. I repented. And I said, Lord, instead of saying all these things about them and grumbling against them, I should be praying for them. And suddenly I felt a great joy within my heart. And I just kind of realized, wow, yes, they were willing to give it all for God, because that's what the scripture says. We are should be willing to give it all up for him. And you know, the last I heard, oh, they're doing well there. You know, her and the husband, you know, she's the pastor, and then the three kids, and they're reaching the people there. And I go, praise God. And here's the thing: when we have too much in our lives, when we hold on to the things, we're not gonna let go when the time comes when God says, okay, it's time for you to go and serve me wherever I send you. We got to make sure we're not holding on to our things. Our hands should be saying, Lord, show me where to go.
you take the hands of the Lord, show me where to go, Lord. He said, wherever you take me, I know, Lord. I know you're going to be with me. I'm not going to have any fear. I'm not going to have any anxiety, because wherever you take me, you're with me. We got to go with God. We do not hold on to the things of the world, because God knows if too many things get crowded in our lives, and we become hoarders, we hold on to the things of the world. When that time comes, God says, go. We're going to go. Go? Okay. We're going to go to our things. Because we need things, our God. When God says, go, we say, Lord, show me. Lord, take my hand. I want to go with you. That's where God will lead you into greater, bigger things for His kingdom. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Why don't we go ahead and bow our hearts before God? Thank you, Lord, for this message that was spoken today. And I thank you, Lord, knowing your Holy Spirit's presence is ever so present in this place. Father God, I ask you now, Lord, let your Holy Spirit minister to us. Counsel us, Lord. If we truly have been people that have been holding on to things, instead of saying, Lord, I'm letting go of all things and I'm surrendering my life fully to you. I pray, Father God, will you speak to our hearts right now? And I know, Lord, as we are willing to come clean, to say, Lord, purify me, make my heart right before you, I know your Holy Spirit will come and show us. And I know you will cleanse us, Lord, of any impurities, anything that is not of you. And if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now and saying, you know what, it's time, child, you let go of the things of the world. And just say, Lord, I have an open hand reaching towards you that will lead me into those paths of your blessing. And if you know the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now, and that's your heart, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can you raise your hand so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. All right. All right, you put your hands down. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, knowing, Lord, your hand is upon us. And for those that have raised your hand, I just pray, Father God, that you will just touch their heart right now. Touch their mind. Let them know that you have heard from heaven. And as they are willing to say, Lord, my life truly belongs to you. I just pray, Lord, you will come in and you're going to show yourself strong in their lives as they are energized in your Holy Spirit's power, in your Holy Spirit's fire. I pray, Lord, they're going to go forth into the world and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Savior. And they will be so focused on your word, so focused on the mission that you have called them to go on. And I pray, Lord, that your greater and greater blessings will constantly flow in their lives as they continually trust in you. I thank you, Lord, for what you start in their lives and what you will continue to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray all these things. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Now, for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard of people talking about having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, what must I do? How do I get started? Well, first of all, you can pray a simple prayer, but you got to mean it from your heart. And if you invite Jesus Christ into your heart today, I've got to tell you, if you truly say yes to Jesus today, He's going to come into your life. He's going to come into your heart, because the Bible says your heart is Jesus' home. He makes residence in your heart when you say yes to Him. And your life will never be the same again, because you're going to be filled with the presence of God. And if that's your heart today and you're saying, that's me, I want to say yes to Jesus Christ. I want to receive Him into my life. If that's the cry of your heart, can you simply raise your hand and say, that's me. I want to say yes to Jesus. Praise God. Anyone else? Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. All right, you put your hands down. Let's pray this prayer out loud. Let's pray together as a family. Let's start saying, Father God, I need you. I give you praise for who you are. I believe in you. And I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God, and so that I can hear myself, and so that everyone can hear me, and so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for him, and I live for him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Amen.